And this morning we talked about the decrees of God, the purpose of God. Tonight I want to talk about God being omni. God being omni. That means it's the knowledge of God. The knowledge of God. But here in Psalm 73, David talks about the wicked and the proud that go through life and they live their life. And they say in verse 11, look at it with me, verse 11. They're fat, they're wealthy, they got pride all about them, their eyes stand out with fatness, they have more than their heart could wish. And they say, how doth God know? And is there knowledge in the Most High? Is there knowledge in the Most High? Does God really know? Does He know who I am? Does He know where I am? Does He care about me at all? Does He care what I do? Does He care what I do? And Job, they asked the same question in Job. You don't have to look there. But in Job 22:13, it says this, and thou sayest, how doth God know? Can He judge through the dark cloud? When the cloud is dark, can He see through it? Can He bring judgment? Can He look through a dark cloud? Well, I'm going to try to answer that question. Does God know? Can He see through the dark cloud? How does He judge? Well, God is omni. And omni means all. It just means completely. He is omnipresent. He's all present. Everywhere. At all times. He's omnipotent. That means He's all powerful. All powerful. All power in heaven and earth is His. And then He gave all power in heaven and earth unto His Son. All power over all flesh belongs to His Son. That He should give eternal life to as many as the Father has given Him. But I want to deal with His omniscience. His omniscience. That means He's all-knowing. And He knows everything completely. Everything intimately. Everything from top to bottom, inside, outside. Any way it can be viewed, God knows it. He sees it. Sees all. Some say God doesn't know. They question whether God is all-knowing. But all that I look with me over in Psalm 139, just a minute. Look in Psalm 139. They say, does God know? Does He know? But now here's what David said. He's a believer. He knows God. He knows God. And he said here in Psalm 139, verse 1, he said, O Lord, Thou hast searched me. And know me. Thou know my down setting and mine uprising. You know when I'm down. You know when I'm lazy. You know when I'm slothful. You know when I'm resting. And you know my uprising. Whenever my heart gets stirred up. Whenever my will gets stirred up. Whenever my affections get stirred up. Whenever somebody gets me stirred up. You know my down setting and uprising. Thou understands my thought. Afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down. Watch this. And You're acquainted with all my ways. And why, I love this. And there's not a word in my tongue. But lo, O Lord, Thou knowest it altogether. That's omniscience. That's omniscience. You know, when we talk about God knowing it altogether, knowing Him altogether, knowing us altogether, knowing everything altogether, that means, beloved, that God not only knows everything, everything that there is to know, but He knows everything that is possible, and He knows everything that is actual. He knows not only what could be and what is possible to be, but He also knows what actually is right now, and this right now and this moment in time. Of all the peoples on top side of God's earth, God Almighty knows every thought, every word, every motive. By Him, actions are weighed. He knows not only what you do, but He knows why you do it. He knows what you say before you say it. He knows what you think before you think it. That's God's omniscience. We're open and naked before Him with whom we have to do. But you see, you and I, we wonder what will be. God knows what will be. We wonder what has been. God knows what has been. He knows all events. He knows all creatures. He knows the past. He knows the present. He knows the future. Huh? Look what David said here in verse 6 of Psalm 139. Such knowledge that you know me so intimately, that you know my thoughts, you know my words, you know my downsetting, you know where I go in, I come out, you know everything there is about me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain unto it. And he says, whither shall I go from thy spirit? Where shall I flee from your presence? If I was to try to get away from you, where can I go? Well, you wouldn't know me. Well, you couldn't see me. Well, you couldn't search my heart, search my thoughts, search my tongue. Where could I go? What's this? If I ascend up into heaven, then heck, you're there. If I even make my bed in hell, or in hell and destruction are naked before Him. If I take the wings of the morning, dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there thy hand shall lead me. Thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shines like the day. The darkness and a light, the light are both alike to thee. Where am I going to go? Well, you don't know. And oh, look over in Hebrews 4:13 with me just a moment. Hebrews 4:13. You know, you've met people that, you know, say, boy, he thinks he knows everything. You ever met anybody like that? I got a couple of friends that they just got a head full of useless knowledge. Ain't nothing you can say that they don't know something about. When you run across somebody that knows everything, you keep your mouth shut because you know you don't know nothing compared to them. Well, listen, somebody who thinks they knows everything, God don't think He knows everything. He actually knows everything. There's no pretending with Him. There's no. And God's knowledge, and look over here in Hebrews 4:13. It says this. There's never a creature, there's not a creature that is not manifest in His sight. The creature, any creature, man, angel, principalities, powers, devils, spirits, snakes, everything, deer in the field. He said, I cause the hind to calve. I feed the sparrows, I feed the birds, and every creature that's not manifested. But watch this, but all things are naked and opened under the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. You and I wouldn't get naked before nobody. Not among ourselves. But God says, when I look at you, you're just naked. I see you inside, outside. I see you like you really are. We dress ourselves up, put on smell-em, take showers, we shave, and God, we dress ourselves up, and God looks at us and says, you're just naked. You're just naked. I see everything there is about you. Huh? And oh, beloved, God's knowledge is perfect. He never errs, never changes, never overlooks anything. He told Israel, he says, I looked. He told Ezekiel, said, you go tell Israel. He said, I know the mind, the thoughts that are in your mind. And this is what you think about me, and I want you to know that I know what's in your mind. And old Ezekiel went and told him, said, God knows what's in your mind. And oh, beloved, listen, absolutely nothing, nothing, absolutely nothing escapes the omniscience, the knowledge of God. Now, He's invisible to us. He's invisible to us, but we're not invisible to Him. Huh? You know, you take Adam. When he was in the garden, when he fell, he went, hid behind a book, got him a fig leaf. Before he had been there, him and his wife had the beautifulest wife. Eve, no doubt, was the beautifulest woman that ever lived. Adam, no doubt, other than Christ, was the handsomest man. There they were. They were in the garden. They were in paradise. They were naked and they enjoyed themselves. They enjoyed one another and they ruled and reigned there in paradise. Lord over the earth. Well, God told him not to eat the fruit of the knowledge of the tree of good and evil, and he did. And immediately his eyes was open. He had been naked from the day God made him. But he experienced things he never experienced. He experienced shame for being naked. He experienced fear. He said, I got to hide my nakedness from God. Not only do I got to hide my nakedness from God, but I got to hide myself from God. And so he put on that fig leaf. Let me tell you something about fig leaves. Every time you pull a fig leaf, it's going to start dying. And after a while, it's going to dry up. You're going to have to pick another one. And that's what all religion does. It's just trying to keep folks covered, nakedness covered up with fig leaves, with morality, soul winning. God's doing the best he can. You need to straighten up. You do the best you can. Fig leaf, that's a fig leaf, that's a fig leaf. The boy, it starts dying. And then after a while, you got to go get another one. And another one. And another one. And anyway, he said, I'm going to go over here and hide. I'm going to go over here and hide. He honestly thought he could hide his nakedness from God. And hide himself in a bush. You know, we play hide and seek with one another. And everybody, you know, you've done that when you're a kid. Everybody played hide and seek. And you're trying to find the best place in the world to hide. Sometimes they couldn't find you. But there's no... God said to Adam, Adam, where are you? Now, God didn't ask Adam, CL. Listen. Oh, but he thought he was going to hide from God. But God said, Adam, where are you? And he didn't ask him for his geographical location. He wasn't saying, you know, I need a GPS to find you. He wanted Adam to know where Adam was. He said, I'm naked. Who told you you was naked? Who told you? Who told you? Oh my, he thought he could hide, but God saw him that where he was. Saw him where he was. No one saw Cain slay Abel. Nobody saw Cain slay Abel, but God did. Cain, where's your brother? Am I my brother's keeper? He said, Cain, your brother's blood calls up to me. It cries to me out of the ground. Now, no one knew Achan had stolen the golden wedge when they went down to Jericho. And God said that a cursed thing. And he went down there and nobody saw him take that golden wedge. Nobody saw him take those clothes. Nobody saw him take it in his tent. Nobody saw him bury it under his clothes and hide it there. But God did. Huh? David sinned. Tried to cover it up. He took Bathsheba. Killed her husband. Tried to cover it up. He said, oh, I got by with it. Oh, I'm fine. I got me a new wife. I'm happy and her husband's gone. Things is well. God sent a prophet to him and said, David, you're the man. You're the man. And all beloved, people say, well, God don't know. But listen, God knows where we are, when we are. And listen. If God said that he's going to have the day when he's going to judge the secrets of men's hearts by the gospel. Ain't that right? And you know, it says in Numbers 32:23, be sure, your sin will find you out. And now let me tell you this. God knows. I mean, he knows. We may think of it, nobody else knows, but God knows. When you're all alone, there ain't nobody but you. God sees. God sees. Before anything comes out of your mouth, God knows. Know you all together. But to me, and this to believers, this is one of the most comforting truths that there are to God's people. Huh? God knows me. God knows me. He knows me better than I know myself. He knows me better than my wife knows me. Knows me better than my children. God knows me. He knows what I was. He knows what I am. He knows what I'm going to do. He knows what I'm going to be. Paul said it like this. He said in Galatians 4:9, after you have known God, or rather are known of God. Known of God. And beloved, Paul said this. He said, oh my, that I would do, I don't. That I wouldn't do, I do. That I hate, I do. And that that I love, I don't do. And he said, I see this war going on. Oh my, I wouldn't do this, but I do it. And that that I hate, I do. I wouldn't do that, but I do. And this I would love to do, but I don't do that. The will's present with me to how to perform. I don't know how. Oh, wretched man. He knew himself. Oh, wretched man. Who's going to save me, deliver me from this body of death? Oh, my. He hath found great comfort in all. Thanks be unto God which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. He owned up to what he was. Owned up to what he was. And that's what we do. God's the only person in the world. Listen, Rothbard used to say, and I've heard Henry say it, God does not send honest men to hell. And you know, beloved, the old God can only be the one to make you honest. He lays your heart bare, and you come clean with Him, and you know you can't hide nothing from Him, and you don't try to. You find great comfort in laying yourself out and say, Lord, you see me, you know me. Right here, right now, in the presence of this world, in the presence of angels, in the presence of God, in the presence of Christ, in the presence of heaven, in the presence of this present company, I say, oh God, you know me. You know me. You know my pride. You know my hypocrisies. You know my exaggerations, which is nothing but lies. You know me. You know me. And yet, beloved, He not only knows what I was and what we are, and yet He loved us. He gave His Son for us. God commendeth His love toward us in that while we were what? Yet sinners. Yet sinners. Christ died for us. Huh? My soul. I know, you said, I know my sheep. I know them. I know who they are. I know where they are. I know what they do. And I know, listen, there's two kind of sheep in this world. Saved sheep and lost sheep. But He's going to find them lost sheep. And you know when He finds you, when He brings you, He don't turn goats into sheep. He just goes after the sheep. And that's what we're on. We're on the trail of God's sheep. Oh, I've called thee. He said, I've called thee by name. Oh my, not only does He know us, but He knows what we'll do. Look over in Job with me just a moment. Job 23. He not only knows us personally, but He knows what we'll do. He knows what we'll do. Old Scott Richardson called me one time and he was talking to me about this verse of Scripture. He said, God knows us. He knows not only that, but He knows what we're going to do. Look what it says here in Job 23:10. God's trying Job. You know that. He's trying him severely. Oh, He's got him in the furnace. He got him in the furnace of affliction. And then look what He says. God's not, look on the left, and God's not there. Look on the right, and He's not there. He hides Himself from me. I can't see Him. But watch this. In verse 10, but He knoweth the way that I take. When He hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. He said, you know, I didn't know the way I was going to take, but He knows the way I'm going to take. He knows the way you're going to take. He knows the way I'm going to take. He knows the way you're going to take. When He tries you, puts you in the fire, He knows the way you're going to take. He knows the way. Oh, He knoweth. Ain't that what it says? He knoweth. I may not know what I'm going to do. Which way I'll go. My friends may not know, but He knows. He knows. In weakness, in weariness, He knows. The Scripture said, as a father pitieth his children, even so the Lord pitieth them that fear Him. For He knoweth our frames. What are we? Dust. Dust. He knoweth. He knows our frames. When our souls are in doubt, look what He said again in Psalm 139. When our souls are in doubt, and we're suspicious of ourselves. You ever get suspicious of yourself? Huh? Do you ever get suspicious of yourself? I know we get suspicious of everybody else. You know, I said one time I was preaching, and I said, you know, I was preaching. The fellow said to me, he said, you know, he said, I know I'm saved. I'm looking for those other seven that's going to get on the ark. He wasn't suspicious about himself, but you ever get suspicious about yourself when your soul's in doubt? Do I know the Lord? Do I honor Christ? Do I wait on Him? Am I patient? Do I manifest the love of Christ, the grace of Christ, the character of Christ? Am I forgiving? Am I gentle natured? Am I gracious? Am I willing to help? Am I willing to do? Am I willing to be all things? Am I willing to suffer? Am I willing to be put down so others can be lifted up? And when our souls are in doubt, we're suspicious of ourselves. Look what David said, and this is what we do in verse 23. Psalm 139, search me. He just got through saying, you know me. You know everything there is about me. But he says this, search me, O God. Know my heart. Try me. Try me. Put me. Do what you got to do, but know my faults. And watch this, and see, when you search my heart, and you try my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Take that from me. Get me away from that. What do you say? And all beloved, He knows us. Knows what we'll do. Knows us praying. We cry out, search me. And when we failed miserably, stumbled badly, not acted as a believer, honoring His Master, and the Lord Jesus comes to us like He did Simon Peter, and He said, oh, Simon. Simon had denied Him 3 times. Simon went back fishing. Everybody went with him. And the Lord Jesus said, Simon, do you love me? Yes, Lord, I love you. Feed my lamb. Simon, do you love me? Yes, Lord, I love you. Feed my sheep. Simon, lovest thou me? You know what he said? He said, Lord, thou knowest. Thou knowest all things. Knowest all things. Hey, oh Lord, why do you keep asking me? You know all things. And you know I love you. You know I do. You know I do. And all beloved, God's knowledge is why we pray so earnestly. That's why we pray so earnestly. Let me show you this in Isaiah 65. This is why because of God's knowledge, is why we pray so earnestly. You know, in Psalm 65 and verse 24, or Isaiah, excuse me, 65 and verse 24. You know, it's because of God's knowledge, God's omnipotence, that's why we pray so earnestly. Ain't that what He says here in Isaiah 65, 24? And it shall come to pass that before they call, I'll answer. And while they're yet speaking, I'm going to hear. Because God knows we're calling. I'm going to hear. And I'm going to answer before they start. You know, the answer may not get back to us immediately, but the answer's on its way. It's on its way. It's on its way. You see, He knows the thoughts. He knows the intents of the heart. He knows the sighs. You know, if you've been around folks and you know your wife or you or somebody you love, you hear them just give out an awful sigh. You know that they're heavy-hearted. You know that they're troubled. They have a sigh. God knows every sigh. Every sigh you have. He knows your groans when you lay it away and you groan. Oh, you groan. You groan over your situation. You groan over your children. You groan over the church. You groan over your job. You groan over your children. You groan over things. And He knows your tears. The Scripture says that He takes our tears and puts them in a bottle. And He knows us individually. Each and every one of us individually. And He don't overlook the first one. Don't overlook the first one. Does not. Well, how important is it to know God and to know that He's omniscient, that He knows all, sees all, absolutely has perfect knowledge of everything, me, you, everything that's going on? How important is it to know it? Well, it's this important, that if anything were to happen without God directing it, without God permitting it, it means he didn't know and he had ceased to be God. Ain't that right? You see, God's knowledge is the determining factor of what happens in time, what happens in the future. You know, he said in Daniel 4:35, all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. And he doeth according to his will in the armies of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. And when he stretches forth his hand, who's going to pull it back? You know, I could reach out for you and start to do something. You'd grab my hand, stop me. But who's going to grab God's hand and say, now, you ain't going to do that. You're not going to do that. You're not going to treat me that way. You're not going to reach for me. I'm not going to have your hand deal with me like that. No, who's going to do that? Oh, no, his hand's going to do what it wants to. Huh? And nothing in the future is uncertain as far as God's counsels and will and purpose and knowledge is concerned. You know, Romans 4:17 says, he calleth the things that are not as though they were. Something that even don't even exist, he calls it like it did. You know why? Because it will. Because it will. As you know, every good and perfect gift cometh down from the Father of lights, and there's no variableness about him. There's no shadow of turning. I mean, he's the same. There's light. I mean, he never changes. And he called all things that would happen before they happened. Everything concerning his son, everything concerning us, everything concerning the fall. And his knowledge, his omniscience, wasn't the cause of it happening. Just because he looked down time and said, well, I see that's going to happen. It happened because he willed for it to happen. That's why he knows everything. You know, when you will everything and you direct everything, then you know everything that happens. You know everything that happens. And he knows all, for he willed all. And what should we do with a God like this? How should we act? How should we consider him? How should we be? Adoring? Reverencing? Worshiping? Bless his holy name? Lay ourselves before him? Say, Lord, here am I. You know, when Abraham sent Hagar out with a bottle of water and a loaf of bread, her and Ishmael out. She was hid out there. She thought she was going to die. She just drunk the water. It's gone. She's just going to sit down there, and her and her child was going to die. And God came to her at a well as she sat there. And she called. She said this. She said, thou God that seest me. She was in trouble, dying. No bread, no water. God came to her and she said, this is the well of thou God seest me. Thou God seest me. Here I was. Abraham didn't care about me. Sarah didn't care about me. But thou God seest me. And oh my, what a blessed thing. Everything in my life is open and naked before him. And yet, he thinks on me the way I am. The way I am. Not the way I want to be. Not the way I hope to be. But the way I am right now. He thinks on me. Our Father, our gracious eternal God in heaven, how gloriously wondrous is your name, your person, your power, your knowledge. As David said, such knowledge is too wonderful for me. I cannot attain to it. And, O Lord, we adore you and bless you that you know us. You know our frame. You know our groans, our sighs, our tears, our worries, our fears, our anxieties. You know our motives. You know our uprisings and downsettings. You know when we go out and you know when we come in. You know our hearts. You know everything about us. And, oh, Father, we thank you that you know. And in knowing us, oh, Lord, you love us yet. You love us still. You receive us still. You hear us still. Accept us still. And that you love us. Oh, blessed be your name. That you'd take us, me, as I am, with all the weakness and inability, powerlessness, impotence, and yet, Lord Jesus, you think upon me. Oh, blessed be your name. Thank you for this service tonight. Thank you for these dear saints. Thank you for their attention. And bless the word to their hearts and their understanding. Encourage them. Thank you for the food. Thank you for this dear preacher and his wife and the fellowship we've enjoyed. We thank you in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Amen.